Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Zechariah chapter 9, please. Zechariah chapter 9. Very good lesson, ladies. Thank you. Very powerful. Zechariah chapter 9. Everybody here this morning? Maybe I need to ask a question. See, that's why I ask the question every Sunday. Are you guys ready for God's Word? I want to make sure you're not zoned out on me. Zechariah chapter 9. This morning I want us to talk about being a prisoner of hope. Being a prisoner of hope. Normally, that is terminology that is not associated with hope. Normally we see a prisoner, being a prisoner of something as being a prisoner of something negative. But God uses that terminology to describe being a prisoner of something very positive. All right, so given that, we're going to read a few verses of scripture, Zechariah chapter 9. We're going to begin reading with verse 9, okay? That's towards the middle of your Bible. Well, it's past the middle of your Bible, okay? If you're looking in on your Bible, it's one of those prophets. All right, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, let me ask a question. What is this passage? Who is this passage referring to? Jesus. In fact, the gospel writers quote from this particular passage because it's talking about Jesus. So let me ask you this question here. The following verses, who will they be talking about then? Jesus. This is called a messianic prophecy. A prophecy about the coming Messiah. Verse 10. "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also," everybody say, "as for me, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit." Notice verse 12, "Return to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you." Wow, what a powerful prophecy. And please remember, this prophecy is about whom? Jesus. Who agrees with me this morning that any prophecy about Jesus, automatically, because we are followers of Jesus, and because we love Jesus, and we seek to know him better in our lives, can I get an amen? Amen. That because of that, any prophecy about Jesus, his work applies to us. Yes. Right? So these verses then, we can conclude safely and soundly that these are directed toward us. Okay, so he says here, he calls, the first thing he says is that he will set prisoners free. And then he says that these prisoners that are set free will be called prisoners of hope. Well, you know, church family, I've been a prisoner of fear for the majority, all of my childhood, teenagehood, the majority of my young adulthood, but you know, I'm no longer a prisoner of fear. Amen. As the song goes, I am a child of God. Amen. I'm set free from fear. You know what? I've walked out of that dank, dark, cold, gloomy cell for my life, and I've entered the cell of hope. And I've thrown away the key, and I say, Jesus, chain me to the wall, to this cell of hope, because that's the way I'm going to live the rest of my life, is being a prisoner of hope. I'm not a glass half full guy. I'm not a glass half empty. I'm a my cup runneth over type of guy. Come on, somebody. Who wants to be that? who wants to say that when trouble comes, the first thing I do is not lose it, and it's not panic, and it's not fold like a cheap suit. Well, how can I describe that? Because I've been there myself at times, okay? But I'm telling you, my first response will be, I can hardly wait to see how God will get me through this situation. Amen. Listen, God is the God of hope. And as His people, we are called to be prisoners of hope. Right? Well, why does it take so long for God to move? Baby, because God's got bigger things to tend to than just your poor little feelings during this time. You know, what if God is orchestrating something so big on your behalf that He's talking to people right now and some of them are dragging their feet? Who agrees with me that some of the people that God uses to bless us, they drag their feet? Well, mine must be a mule. I need to hit them with a 2x4 in the head. God is orchestrating circumstances around your life to bring you to a fulfilled end in your life. We need to be patient. We need to wait on Him, and wait on Him with what? With hope. Because what He has promised, church family, He will make happen on our behalf. Who's ever had an answer to prayer? Amen. Who is thankful for that answer to prayer? Amen. You know, right now, there are some things in my personal life that I'm praying about. I'm praying about, and I talk to the Lord repeatedly about them. You know, if you were to take a peek into my prayer life, they sound kind of rote at times, not meaning that my heart is not in them, but the wording is probably the same over and over because I believe in perseverance in prayer. Right? Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus said that He taught a parable for this purpose, that people should always pray and not give up. Well, as a prisoner of hope, shouldn't I have perseverance? If I have hope, church family, listen, hope in the future translates to strength in the present. I want to be a strong person today because I am a prisoner of hope. You, church family, have been called by God to be prisoners of hope. Right? If God has the final say so, and He does, and you know, we already have read to the end of the book, haven't we? And let me clue you in. We win. Yesterday, I don't know how many football fans we have here in our midst, but wow, two barn burner games that went down to the very end. And, you know, I was like, gosh, biting my nails. And I was like, come on, Bengals, come on, Niners. And then they win and they shock the world. And you're like, but this morning I saw it and I wasn't as emotional because I knew who won the game. Right? When I saw the highlights on SportsCenter, oh, the Bengals are going to win. Don't you think the Lord knows how it's all going to end? He's already told us how it's going to end. And church family, we win. Yes. The last word on your life is victory and hope. It is not demise. It is not poverty. It is not being sickly. It is not having your becoming a burden to your children because of your health conditions. Come on, somebody. It is the Lord taking care of you. That is the voice of a prisoner of hope. Listen, some of us we get so caught up with the details is how's God going to do this? How's God going to do that? What about this and what about that? Listen, leave the details to the Lord. Don't you think He has it all worked out? You know what Gabby has taught me? We communicate quite often. She is at peace, man. That little girl has figured peace out in her life, and I love that. And sometimes when I get a little nervous about some things that she and I talk about, she's like, Dad, be at peace. Oh, okay. Peace. You know, we could learn from some people how to be more peaceful. We could learn from others how to be more hopeful. Right? Now, one big step that we must take, church family, is we've got to take our eyes off the problem and turn them to the promise of God. Right? You know, I can tell you today that Jeremiah 29:11, if we can put it up there, please, we'll read it. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a what?
Future.
And a
hope.
Well, if God wants to give me a future and he constantly thinks those thoughts about me, who agrees with me, or who believes with me, rather, that God thinks thoughts of future and hope for your life continually? Well, don't you think you have a future in God? Well, Pastor Joe, you don't know what all I've done to this point. I've messed up here and I've messed up there. Is God concerned about your past? Especially you, Terry. sorry. He dishes it out. He better take it. Right, church family? That's right. He's public enemy number one. No, not anymore. You were. Anyway, that was not nice. Sorry, Terry. So let's move on. Okay, so the Lord thinks these thoughts continually. Well, don't I want to think of the possible future that God has for me? You know, church family, I've walked with the Lord for decades. Since I was 15, a few days shy. Actually, it was 11 days shy. It was about 10 days shy of my 16th birthday. And you know, I gave my life to the Lord then, and he has proven to me that he has never let me down. Have I been disappointed along the journey? Of course. Have I had adversity? Of course. Had I had trials? Of course. Have I wished that some events turned out differently? Of course. But through it all, the Lord has been true to me. Even at times when I was not true to him. He is faithful. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. And that future was never forfeited by my stupidity. Sorry, kids. My future was not forfeited by me being dumb. Come on, somebody. Somebody feel me this morning? Can you feel this vibe? Listen, there is hope in the Lord. I want to be a prisoner of hope. I want to be accused of being the guy that's always up. Oh, he's so up. He gets under my skin. He's too positive. He's too optimistic. How many of y'all have met people like that? They used to annoy me, but now I'm one of them. Right? You know, they're all like, yip, 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 like little poodles. Yip, 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 yip. Positive, 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 positive. Oh, shut up. And now I is one. Praise the Lord. You know, since I'm in that cell of hope, throw the key away. I don't want to get out. Who's with me? You don't want to get out of that cell of hope. Our God is a God of hope, and he has a future for you. And it is a good future. He has a hope, an expected end for us, church family. The last note over your life, listen, it's not COVID. It is victory. The last note over your life is not, you know, wasting away, some kind of fading into oblivion with your life. You know what? No, it is a future in God. Because listen, church family, people will give up on you, but God will never give up on you. Can I get a witness? You know, there are some circles that I could run in that I'd be space dust. They'd disregard me. They wouldn't think of me. You know what? I don't care, buddy. In God, I have a future. Yoo-hoo! And I'm going to go on a little rabbit trail since I'm on this. You know, it's amazing to me, church family. It is amazing to me. Somebody found something funny. What's so funny? What's that? Oh, rabbit trail, yeah. Okay, I am. Anyway, so you know, it's amazing to me how we sing, we are Christians by our love. We'll quote John 13:35. Oh, I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh yes, we're all about the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Love, 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 love. Until somebody, listen carefully, until somebody slips and falls morally and then, no, perish the thought, ban that sucker from church, nobody ever be their friend anymore. You know what, church family? That is a sad state of affairs. And while I'm on it, I'm going to address it. You know, Scott, you had a good lesson in Sunday school class about the Lord, his patience wearing thin with the culture and their moral free fall. It's a free fall now. It's not a steady decline. It's a free fall. But I'm telling you, the church could use a major league God-sized enema. And purge out all of those judgmental people. Get out of here. That's right. Didn't Peter say judgment or discipline begins in the house of God? Well, listen, Jesus, start with those holier than thou, those high horse believers that think they've got it all together, and when somebody slips and falls, well, we're gonna do away with them. You know, I've heard that Christianity is the only army where the army, the soldiers, kill their own wounded. A guy shoots himself in the foot, ow, he's like, well, let me take your gun, I'm gonna do away with you now. Bam. Instead of taking him to the MASH unit tent, no. Unbelievable. Listen, don't get too quiet on me. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to the body of Christ. Come on, somebody. Right? Listen, I have a hope and the future in store for me. You have a hope and the future. Be a prisoner of hope. I want to encourage you this morning, church family, I'm sure you've never heard this before, to raise the roof of your expectations. Why do we sit so comfortable like the disciples were when they saw Jesus walking, but they didn't recognize him as Jesus? They were afraid. They thought he was a ghost. Peter sees him and says, Lord, if it's you, allow me to come to you. Well, okay, come. Well, you know, he jumps out and then he's walking on water and then he realizes what he's doing, right? Well, do you mean to tell me that if you're not cognizant that you're walking on water, that all of us can walk on water? It was a miracle until he realized that, oh no, I'm not supposed to walk, I'm supposed to drown. Jesus catches him, but all the other dudes, they witness the miracle, but they're all in the boat. Can we all get out of the cotton-picking boat this morning? Yes. Listen, let's walk on water. God has a future in store for you. You know what, your family? Sometimes I think we need to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen. We need to come to that point that the prodigal son came to in Luke chapter 15 when he said, you know what, I've had enough. I'm competing with pigs, with these unclean animals. And yes, Gene, I know they're good eating. It's lean meat. It's the other white meat. No, I prefer the primary white meat. Anyway, and he got tired of it. And he said, you know, my dad's servants have it better than I do. Shoot, I'll go home and I'll say, please don't accept me as a son. Accept me as a servant. And he said, on the way home, he was rehearsing this speech. The father finds him because the father is out looking for his son. Who's thankful, church family, that none of us found the Lord, that he found us? Amen. To say that I found the Lord is like saying a mouse was chasing a cat. No, the Lord was pursuing us. The father found him and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him and embraced him. And while the son was beginning to recite his speech, the father interrupted his son and said, servants, quick, bring the best robe. See, that's where some denominations quit reading that passage. Bring the best robe. Who agrees with you, church family, that no matter how far you fall, you still qualify for God's best? Right? Who's getting something out of this? I mean, I'm preaching myself happy. I don't know about you, but I'm happy this morning. I might even do a jig. No, Craig's like, like, I'm about to say something. Pop some popcorn, Laura. Anyway, I was telling Vince and Brenda that you never know what you're going to get here, right, brother? But we like to keep it real, right, Vince? All right. Like a box of chocolates. So where was I? Listen, no matter how far you fall, you never are disqualified for the best robe. Listen, we have an amazing God, don't we? I am a prisoner of hope. Let's all say that. I am a prisoner of hope. Say it again. I am a prisoner of hope. Church family, you are a prisoner of hope. No matter what happens from this point on, no matter what has happened from this point behind us, that's irrelevant. That is irrelevant. The best robe is still reserved for you. I know there's always the older brother grumbling out in the field. We just talked about the older brother a little bit ago. God's little helpers, right? They think they're perfect. Well, how dare you? I've been serving you, Father, for all these years, and never once so much did you offer the least that you could have offered to me, and that was a kid, a young goat. But no, this son of yours, it was not this brother of mine. This son of yours had took all your wealth and spent it on prostitutes. Isn't that what he said? Yep. What's he saying, son or father? Kick him out. Aren't you glad the father didn't listen to him? Amen. And listen, no matter how many critics you have, the father doesn't listen to them. If you've fallen, there is always restoration. There is always redemption, right? And there is always God's best in store for you. Well, Brother Joe, I've heard it said that a bird with a broken wing can never fly as high. In grace, you can fly higher. That went over some people's heads. Who agrees with me that in grace you can always fly higher? Amen. Amen? All right, how many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the word this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for your love. Father, help us. Help us to be aware that you have made us to be prisoners of hope. Help us to believe the best. I remember the words, Lord God, of Corrie Ten Boom. The worst can happen, but the best is yet to be. Father, thank you for that future you have in store for our lives. I pray an infusion of faith and confidence, Lord God, and even a little bit of humble swagger in your people, Father, that they know that their God has come to give them hope in any and all circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your hearing aids. want to repeat the message for the adults and I'll get you a microphone?
No, it's fine. It was a kid's message.
Woo! Making yourself bold.
That penny is you. The ketchup is Jesus' blood. And
it potentially slowly works. Because
so,
it's a little stuff.
Take the penny. Take the ketchup. Maybe. See, is it starting to show through? The shining underneath? Eventually it went through the entire. Is there a bit more? Jen said we can put more on the sun to see the
Yeah.
But just like Jesus' blood washes us, the ketchup washes the skin. And each time you dip it in ketchup, each time you ask for forgiveness, you wash more and more skin.
That's all we got. So.